Bill Paxton's here, and
Helen Hunt,
and
Tornado.
Welcome to the Rampant Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen. I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley. We're continuing our series on the best decade of movies ever, the 1990s. We're currently on 1996, where we'll be discussing our favorite movie of the decade, the most influential movie, and a couple of others that are worthy of discourse. Andrew, why don't you kick us off with the highest grossing movies of 1996?
The highest grossing movie of 1996 was Independence Day, pulling in $817 million.
That's a jump.
That is a,
shocking.
No, we really saw that 1995 was a drop. This is Jurassic Park level money.
Yeah.
It was followed up by Twister, which also made more money than 1995's top grossing movie.
That's surprising.
As did Mission Impossible, which was number three. Then we move on to The Rock, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, 101 Dalmatians, Ransom,
wow,
The Nutty Professor, Jerry Maguire, and rounding out the top 10 of grossing films for 1996 as Eraser with $242 million.
Eraser. All right. Two Tom Cruise movies in the top 10, right? Mission Impossible and yet another one in there.
Mission Impossible has
and
Tom
Jerry
Cruise.
Maguire.
Ah, yes. Those are Tom Cruise.
Yeah, so his 1990, throwing him out there as a 1990s actor. Days of Thunder, Far and Away, Few Good Men, The Firm. He's had a lot of highest grossing movies so far. Interview with the Vampire, Mission Impossible, Jerry Maguire, some movie I had never heard of called Without Limits, and Eyes Wide Shut, and then ending it with Magnolia.
That's fine. I'm not sure that's Arnold Schwarzenegger levels of fame.
Depending on what you consider fame. Like, he probably has the most highest grossing movies of the decade.
Ooh, that's interesting.
We'd have to do the research on it, but like, I've heard The Firm, A Few Good Men, Interview, Mission Impossible, and Jerry Maguire. Like, I don't know. Although Eraser?
Really? Eraser was just behind Jerry Maguire. About $30 million behind. Well, how about awards?
Yes, awards. So, going from top to bottom, Shine, I know the name, I'm not really familiar with the movie. Secrets and Lies, sure. All right, Jerry Maguire, the aforementioned Tom Cruise vehicle. Fargo, and the movie that everyone was talking then that I've never seen, The English Patient.
What a disappointing list of award winners.
Yeah, I'm
kind of... Or nominees, at least.
Yeah, seems like they're... I think this is where there's a fairly big split, again, between critics. Because, like, what? Out of all those...
Jerry Maguire was on the top 10 list.
Was only on the top 10.
And that was
10.
Number 9 in terms of money. And obviously that is a movie that has a lot of popular cultural resonance with Show Me the Money and all that.
And Fargo has had a long tail.
It has. Absolutely has. Yeah.
Like, out of those five movies, that's... Well... Maybe Jerry Maguire. I would say Fargo has still the most social relevance.
Well, they made a TV series out of it.
So. Yeah. Well, that too. But at the time, English Patient, I never saw it. But I mean, English Patient, there's an entire episode of Seinfeld about going to see that movie. Like, when you've made it that far, you know you've made it to the top of social pop culture.
Well, let's move on to the guessing game. Continuing the trend, we're going to take some guesses at each other's list to see how well we know each other. So far, the scores are that Paul has guessed 3 movies correctly, I have guessed 4 movies correctly, and Travis has guessed 6 movies correctly. So it's anyone's game still. Paul, why don't you start us off with some guesses?
Not feeling confident about this year, but Travis, I'm going to hopefully lean into your love of horror movies and go with Scream. Andrew, I'm going to go with your tendency to like the quirkier movies, maybe, and go with 12 Monkeys.
All right. My guess, Travis, this one was really hard for me because I couldn't tell what movie in 1996, other than the ones that I wanted to talk about for my movies, were ones that you would like. I ended up coming down on Mars Attacks.
It's a strong movie.
Paul, this one was much easier, except that I had two that were too good for you, so I had to pick one and go with the other one somewhere else. And I'm going to choose as the guest for you of The Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah, this was the hardest year for picking Paul. This seemed like a very good Paul year.
I will say, right now,
between The Rock, Mission Impossible, Star Trek: First Contact, Independence Day, like there was.
I think two of my top five favorite movies of all time are in this year.
So, I'm gonna go chalk and pick Independence Day. I'm worried you played the game and didn't list it because you thought somebody else would list it. But I have to say Independence Day. Every time we come over on 4th of July,
it's playing.
You have that movie on repeat the entire day. You talked about your never-ending love of Will Smith.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
Well, we'll see.
It's the top grossing movie of the year. It's clearly a big, big movie.
I have to assume it's either your favorite or influential. It's going to be one of your two. So without further ado, Paul, what's your personal favorite?
So this is probably the hardest. I thought that Terminator 2 and Robin Hood Prince of Thieves was the hardest decision for favorite. This one trumps it because, like I said, like you guys said, The Rock and Independence Day are probably two of my all-time favorite movies of all time, to be redundant. Ultimately, for my favorite, I went with I'll Take Pleasure in Gutting You, Boy, The Rock. It's by a sliver, and if you ask me tomorrow, I might go with Independence Day, but I went with The Rock because I remember when I saw it, just absolutely loving it. The combination of action and comedy, the roaring soundtrack, Michael Bay at his probably at his apex, at his absolute best.
Nick Cage at an apex.
Nick Cage at his
almost next year.
No, maybe.
Spoiler alert.
yeah. I mean, Nick Cage at or near his apex.
Even though his Academy Award was 1 or 2 years previous.
Yeah, but just in terms of like the, he's perfect as Stanley Goodspeed. You've got Sean Connery is great as
you're the man now, dog.
Yeah,
was that this? That was a different
no,
movie.
That's a different man.
Yeah, that's a different movie.
This one was losers whine about their best.
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Eminently quotable, you know.
Very quotable.
Gun you, boy.
It's you. You're the Rocket Man.
Yeah. you know, Ed Harris as the sympathetic bad guy. Michael Biehn is
in
there.
Oh, is this what you guys were talking about? This might be the best prison movie? So one of you were saying?
This actually wasn't what I was thinking of, but this is okay.
It's not a prison movie.
It's not a prison movie. It's on Alcatraz, but it's not a prison.
Yeah, they're not breaking out of Alcatraz.
No.
A prison movie is breaking into Alcatraz. That's a heist movie, not a prison movie.
Hey, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which we all agree it is, then this is clearly a prison movie.
We all agree Home Alone is torture porn.
So, yeah, I think we all agree that The Rock is the best movie of this year.
I agree that you agree it is the best movie. So I get a point.
Fair enough.
My best movie is not The
Rock. Wait, did I give Andrew's best? I didn't give my guess for Andrew.
Did you?
No, I went straight into Paul. Well, my guess for you is 12 Monkeys, just like Paul's guess.
Okay.
That's like three consecutive years that we've guessed the same thing for Andrew.
We've been...
Leon... We've been
Leon, Usual Suspects, and 12 Monkeys. Either you're predictable or not. Let's see your choice.
My best movie is 12 Monkeys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam
has a couple of movies in the 90s that are very interesting. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen was much earlier in the decade. 12 Monkeys is a much better film. 12 Monkeys pulls some of my favorite things together with weirdness, time travel, strong acting. Bruce Willis is really great here.
Brad Pitt. My love affair with Brad Pitt starting right here.
Brad Pitt has real acting chops in this movie. One of my favorite lines of all time. Who cares what psychiatrists write on walls? It's just, it doesn't make any sense outside of the context, I understand. But it's so good. And I end up using that line very, very frequently.
And you get blank stares in your turn.
Yeah, well, 12 Monkeys will do that to you. I really like the movie.
Yeah, that it would have almost made mine, but I am in agreement with Paul. It's The Rock. It's clearly the best movie of this. Yes. There's some overall. This isn't as strong as previous years, but yes, the highlights are super high.
The top is very
the top. Strong. Although I don't have as fond memories of something like Mission Impossible as I'm going to guess Paul might have. Anyway, yeah. So Paul already laid out the case for The Rock. Although when I mentioned it to my wife this morning, she said, "That's a terrible movie." I'm like, I don't know if I can be married to you anymore now. But
well, luckily you can't be married to Andrew either because he hates Robin Hood.
I don't hate The Rock. And I just don't love it as much as you guys.
I think Paul and I might have to reconsider our friendship with you.
Yeah. Next podcast, you might not be.
Although 12, I agree with your 12 Monkeys choice probably much more than Paul does.
It's a fine movie.
Out of Terry Gilliam movies, it's probably your favorite.
It's probably
it's probably my favorite Terry Gilliam movie too.
Yeah.
So, I already gave my favorite. So it's Paul's influential movie. Come on, Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Thank you.
Again, this isn't necessarily a second place award, although it's hard not to make it sound like that. But I do think that Independence Day kind of either created or at least reinvigorated the whole like massive like world-ending calamity movie that Roland Emmerich has kind of owned since then. You know, you have Independence Day, aliens coming, destroying the world. The Day After Tomorrow. I'm drawing a blank on almost all the others, but there's just a series of them.
Well, where it's kind just of these two, in a little bit, way like Deep Impact and Armageddon in 1998, kind of.
Not Roland Emmerich, but but the same concept. And to this day, Independence Day kind of sets the standard to me for like the massive summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Like, even more so than Jurassic Park and everything else. I remember like the build up to Independence Day.
It was a summer movie.
It was clearly like the big movie of the summer.
Right.
And that I had to see it like on Independence Day, or at least that weekend or whatever, because it opened a couple days early, and thinking, wow, this is just such a massive movie. It was super long. It had the biggest stars. It had Will Smith and I guess it's kind of only Will Smith.
Jeff Goldblum.
But Jeff Goldblum also, yeah. But I'm saying, I don't Jeff know if Gold- he, yeah. he was in Jurassic Park, but I don't know if he was like the big draw or anything.
Well, this was like not really his renaissance. I mean, Jeff Goldblum was like a star.
Yeah.
At least a decade earlier.
But I don't know if anyone was seeing the movie because of Jeff Goldblum.
No one was seeing this movie because of Jeff Goldblum.
I remember this movie as significant because it got my grandparents to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
This was wide-reaching. This is box office that we mentioned. It's the top grossing. And it's the first one we've had in a couple of years where it's really been big. It's the biggest one since Jurassic Park, maybe top Jurassic Park. That alone makes it influential, because that kind of a box office, other movies are going to try and copy it and do similar things. And this does sort of begin the era of the big blockbusters where it's saved the world, in addition to having all those quotable lines.
Yeah.
And then also, like, a counterpoint to your T2, your complaint about T2's trailer. When you saw them blow up the White House in the trailer for Independence Day,
I'm in.
You wanted to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because also, that's not, you know, even though it's roughly the same time period in the movie of when it's revealed, that is not something that is the hinge of the movie being, you know, different from what you expect. It's like, that's when it gets good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew that when the aliens came to invade the planet, they were going to blow some shit up. And it's not a surprise that the White House
We can help you make your case. I mean, in addition to all the action, all the blockbuster, all that stuff, I mean, then you still have, I always get which one is wrong, Dennis Quaid or Randy Quaid?
One of them.
A Quaid.
One of the Quaids. The usually non-serious one. The one, like, the oddball brother or something from the Chevy Chase National Lampoon movies. It's that Quaid.
Yeah.
Like, not really known for his serious acting is my point. Mm-hmm. Kind of has one of the most poignant things, like,
yeah,
in a comedic way, where he's saying "up yours" as he's doing it, but that's kind of a poignant scene in this movie. Mm. And then, like the best presidential speech in any movie.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
From Bill Pullman, amongst all this great action and special effects and blockbusters, like, you had some real human moments in this movie.
There are quiet moments, you know. Yeah, to your point, like when he says that, like, you don't really know whether to laugh or cry. Like when he's like making his grand sacrifice, you know. There's the when the president's wife dies, it's kind of, there's a sad moment there. Good.
And then it has the other way. It has comedic moments.
Yeah.
Oops, I had this upside down. Now we can go forward. I mean, like, that's...
It's the Avengers of 1996.
Yes, without the oops. You
know? Yeah.
It's just, there's nothing
Welcome
really...
to Earth.
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
Like, get that's... in there.
But like, and the sequence of like you said, it didn't come out on July 4th. Well, it came out on July 2nd.
It's like July 2nd.
But that's when the movie starts too.
I think originally it was supposed to come out on the 4th, and they're like, you know what? We'll release a little early, get a bigger weekend draw. And
but like, it lines up then with the movie, like it was on the 2nd.
So. Yeah, just a great all around movie, great marketing, great trailers, and everything was just great about it.
And I agree, which is why it's also my most influential. I won't repeat anything.
Boom.
All right. You guys are right.
I'm so right.
You guys are right.
Oh my god.
You were right. Scream is my most influential.
Yes.
Like I teased earlier, like in 1994, he did New Nightmare. Wes Craven laying the groundwork for like kind of a meta knowing horror movie. Going back through this, I noticed and this is the legacy of Scream. There are horror movies in the 90s. They're all terrible. Until you get to Scream.
Like Jason and
Freddy. Yeah, they're the end of the 80s. There's Jason Goes to Hell, there's Freddy's Dead, like it's
Halloween
all,
4 or something.
Yeah, like maybe. It's actually like Halloween 6, I think. Although H2O is like at the end of the 90s, the resurrection of Mike Myers, but like again after Scream, and H2O is kind of a very knowing like I don't even know if I have to make the case for Scream, because you picked it for me as an influential movie, so clearly it's recognized as an influential, but yeah, like, it reinvigorated the horror genre to the point that no other movie had done, like, possibly since, like, the original slasher movies had come out of Freddy and Jason and Mike Myers.
And it was smart, like, a lot of the kind of dumb.
They became dumb. Like, the original Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street especially Halloween were way smarter. It was when Wes Craven, he didn't have anything to do at all with Nightmare on Elm Street until a New Nightmare, and like they, you know, in the twist at the end of Friday the 13th was that it was Jason's mom, and then it became Jason was this unstoppable killer guy, and Mike Myers got way watered down with the whole curse of Mike Myers and blah blah blah, blah. Like, but yeah, Scream, like, it acknowledged that all those movies existed too, which no other horror movie had been doing before, to acknowledge it, like, oh yeah, these movies actually, we know of them and we're going to use them as our modus operandi for killing stuff. And like the deaths were so very original. What's her name at the beginning of the movie now, the actress? Drew Barrymore. Getting stabbed, like, that was, in 1996, that was pretty shocking to see her just straight up get stabbed through the heart.
And
disemboweled. And especially, like, to your point about trailers, like, that was a twist from they purposely did that. They made the trailers out to be, like, she's going to be a character in this movie. Nope, she's going to die. You don't know who's going to die in this movie at this point. Like, it's pretty obvious Neve Campbell's not going to die once you see her. Like, but
is it? I mean, after seeing Drew happen to Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, I mean, you really don't know. And then, like, but then to have it be the boyfriend, and this is, like...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. This is... possibly peak Matthew Lillard. Not really saying much, but...
What do you say about Wing Commander, huh?
Bad movie?
there's nothing Matthew Lillard has ever said that matches, I'll be right back! Like, there's nothing he's said that matches that line.
Maybe not.
And I don't even know the actor's name, but the guy laying out, like, the rules of horror movies. That's Wes Craven putting on horror movie 101 of, like, this is what you've known... We're not going to follow those rules at this point. And that changed horror movies for the better ever since then.
What else we have that's worthy of discussion?
So I had Striptease, because as I was doing my research, it made me realize that Demi Moore was a really big deal at that time, at the peak of her powers, if you will.
Her and Bruce Willis.
I was, you know, she was... to use, I guess, a turn of phrase, like the hot stuff at that time. And I had kind of forgotten that for whatever reason. Maybe it did her. But they were talking about how, I guess, during some of her scenes, people saw this movie kind of like with Swordfish and Halle Berry later on. Like some people saw this movie just to see her nude scenes. And there were they brought in some extras during some of the filming of the Striptease, and people were not paid just because they wanted to see Demi Moore naked. And that was surprising to me. I mean, I guess for whatever reason, and it just kind of, it looks like it was not a well-received movie, which is, I guess we have a little bit of disagreement about this, but it sounds like it was,
I don't think it was well-received.
No.
It's just probably better received than Showgirls, because it wasn't trying to be something.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Yeah. But it sounds like it fairly bombed, which is... I guess it's... It sounds like the movie was made just to pay a lot of money to get Demi Moore to take her clothes
off. I was
going to
say, like, I think the reason why we think of it that way is, like, Striptease wasn't really made, like, to your point, maybe... wasn't really made to be a successful movie necessarily.
And that's kind of
Showgirls was built up as like, oh, this is
an art movie or whatever, like blah blah, and like fell on its face.
Striptease is based on a novel, and so I think the design was that it, you know, was good, but the novel is playing with tropes and ideas very differently anyway, whereas Showgirls is all about Hollywood magic, which in this case is Vegas magic, but you know, Striptease is, if my recollection is correct, it's in South Florida, so very, very different environs. And it feels Florida.
I haven't seen the movie, so it was more just doing the research and realizing, wow, this is a weird production for this movie.
And one of my favorites is not quite a kid, because at this point we're bordering on 15, 16 years. No, it was Kingpin.
I have not seen it.
You have not seen it. So again, another Woody Harrelson movie.
Yeah.
So strong from there, but I'm going to show my lack of knowledge since it's been years since. I'm pretty sure it's Bill Murray as well. Is the bad guy
in it? I thought so, but again, I haven't seen it.
But just like, and just the... kind of like a twist too as well, like the whole spoiler alert for this, like the conceit of it is like this Woody Harrelson finds this Amish guy who's purportedly a fantastic bowler,
but he's playing a different game.
Yeah, the joke is that he can bowl these high scores because the Amish do everything that normal people do plus a half, so he bowls 15 frame bowling games, and he neglects to tell Woody Harrelson that fact when he's saying his average is like 280. Oh, Woody, he's like 280, and it's like, because we bowl five more frames than like that. It's a long con joke, though, that you don't find that out for a while.
This is like a disappointing twist.
But I enjoyed it. I haven't seen it for many years, so it probably doesn't hold a candle to a later bowling movie in this decade. But I enjoyed it when it came out.
I know where you're going there.
I have two movies that I want to talk about briefly, and both of them are on the top 10 grossing list, which is unusual for me.
Sellout.
Mostly because I gave Mars Attacks to Travis, so otherwise that would...
Mars Attacks is another Natalie Portman movie.
Yeah. I'll come back to Mars Attacks case. Later on.
Disappointing movie.
And another strong Jack Nicholson movie.
The two movies that are my worthy of discussion movies are Twister and Space Jam. Twister, in addition to being a big box office winner, has some really strong acting from actresses that you wouldn't expect to be in a movie like this. Bill Paxton's here, and
Helen Hunt,
and
Tornado.
The guy who played Capote, whose name is escaping me, for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
So you don't expect to see Philip Seymour Hoffman in a movie like this, and playing this role that he plays so well. So the, you know, real chops in the acting on this, and it, you know, it's a stupid, you know, Dante's Peak, Inferno, the Tornado kind of
but
movie.
But wasn't there another Tornado movie at the time?
I feel like there was, but I can't.
I thought for some
was.
Reason there was, but I couldn't find it.
I don't think so. I think you're just thinking of later movies.
Right, it's another one of those where, you know, the false memory is there, perhaps.
Yeah.
But Twister was one of those where I actually really enjoyed it, despite the fact that it got horribly panned, despite making a fair amount of money. I like it.
Did
as
it get movie. Horribly panned? Because it made it, like you said, it made a fair amount of money.
The audiences liked it well enough, and it's a big action thing, so people are going to go to it. But most of the time, even the audience were like, yeah, it's just okay. Yeah. And the critics, by and large, really did not like it.
So I know you might have another one, but I want to jump in here because I want to seize on the false memory thing. Another one of my notable ones was Kazam.
Yep, I had it written down, Kazam.
In 1996, Kazam happened, huh?
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to really get deep into the whole thing, but do you guys believe in Shazam?
I sure believe that I remembered it, even though it didn't happen.
And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Kazam is a movie starring Shaquille O'Neal, who is a genie.
Hot off his success with Blue Chips in 1994.
That's pretty much all I can tell you about the movie, is that it stars Shaquille O'Neal as a genie. And there are a very vocal minority of people who insist that there is another movie made in the same year called Shazam.
Starring Sinbad.
Starring Sinbad as a genie. And they will insist that they know that this is true and it happened, but there is no evidence anywhere in the world that such a movie ever existed.
There's no evidence in this world.
And there is some crazy, you can read it out there, like Reddit or someplace, some crazy ideas about alternate, you know, universes.
It's proof of the multiverse.
And frankly, I don't have strong feelings about this, but if you had asked me before I read anything about it, I would have said like, oh yeah, I totally remember there being like a Deep Impact Armageddon kind of situation, or Bugs Life Ants kind of situation, where there was, isn't it weird there were two genie movies starring Sinbad and Shaq in the same year? I totally remember that happening. I won't swear by it at all. I believe that I'm probably wrong about this, about the, but it does speak to this weird sense of like false memories, where for whatever reason, a non-zero number of people have created this story that there was a movie out there that was very similar but slightly different.
Starring someone completely different.
And they're not like, they will insist, and I same thing. It's not that I'm confusing the two movies. No. I distinctly remember thinking, it's weird that there are two movies that are very similar like this.
Do you know why there wasn't a Shazam in that year with Sinbad?
No.
Because he was facing off against Arnold in Jingle All the Way.
Sinbad was?
Yeah.
You know, it's possible for an actor to make two movies in 1 year.
I understand. Jim Carrey made three.
As we've noted.
So the other one that I mentioned was Space Jam. And Space Jam, obviously, is a movie that had a lot of legs. And they were going to be making a sequel here with LeBron James shortly, because this was...
Not anymore,
apparently.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
What's that?
People in China hate him now, so they're probably right?
No, they shouldn't hate him. LeBron James totally stuck up for China.
Right, but now he won't get any American support.
Yeah, well...
some article I was reading about how they were, like, burning effigies of LeBron because of...
Shouldn't have been LeBron.
It was LeBron. I think...
That's weird.
He did everything he could, and it wasn't enough.
If it was Hong Kong, it makes sense.
Yeah, Hong Kong.
Okay, yeah. Hong Kong makes sense.
Hong Kong.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
China and Hong Kong are
I just
very different sides.
Yes, I understand now. I misspoke.
But Space Jam was Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny, right?
Yep.
So I didn't see this in the 90s, but it's one of those where you can't really talk about
it. It's also Bill Murray.
Yeah. You can't really talk about movies from the 90s and not mention it, just because it was unique and... Not maybe amazing, but pretty good and well received, and
not the best live action cartoon.
Definitely not
matchup though.
No,
it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
No, they did not put nearly as much effort into making it,
which is odd because Who Framed Roger Rabbit was like 10, not 10. That would be 86. That's too late. That was probably 88 or 89.
I'd say 87, 88. Yeah,
this is just shocking that it's like so much earlier and it's actually holds up probably better than
one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
so. But Space Jam is definitely worth noting from this time period. And I had mentioned my guess for you is Mars Attacks, which another really weird movie. But
yeah, interesting that I had not remembered that it came out the same year as Independence Day. I don't know if that was done on purpose by Tim Burton or what, but interesting that...
It was after, right? Because obviously...
Mars Attacks was later in the year.
It was like November, right?
Yeah, so... But clearly they didn't hurry up and make the movie in response.
No, it had to have been in production, but they may have played off of it some.
Yeah, it's... It almost clearly is played off of, I mean, with Jack Nicholson instead of Bill Pullman as, like, a smarmy, like...
And the aliens are
attacking. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, that's a far cry from We Will Not Go Into That Dark Night, but it's clear, it's like...
We will not go down without a fight.
And the donut guy, who always reminds me of Keanu in Mars Attacks. But, like, yeah, for some reason, speaking of false memories, I always think, like, oh, they're clearly riffing off of something from Independence Day of this, but, like, no, there's no such character. Then I realize, oh, I'm watching Mars Attacks, not Independence Day, and there is no character like that in Independence Day. There is no lady laughing, they blew up Congress in Independence Day, that's Mars Attacks.
Because they blew up the White House instead.
Yeah, instead of going in,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's
a very different movie, it speaks on a different level.
It's Tim Burton, so obviously he's going for a different vibe than everybody else. But yeah, he's going for a different type of alien movie than Independence Day was.
Highly enjoyable, though.
So the last... mine's a quick one. The last one where they did this question. It's actually Independence Day, but I want to...
What?
I want to ask you guys a question based on Independence Day. This is a launching point. Best movie president?
Oh, yeah, I figured. You always bring that up about Independence Day.
Tiny Lister.
Who?
Tiny Lister.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Who the hell is that?
We'll get to it in the next year.
All right. All I can say is...
Yeah, next year. We'll get to it next year.
I can confidently say it's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of people you can pull from here. I mean, Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact, Bill Pullman from Independence Day, Jack Nicholson.
I mean, I would say for most, probably what, most effective and most affecting is probably Bill Pullman, but I also can't think of, I always come up with a blank of like.
Harrison Ford, Air Force One.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to go Charlie Sheen from, but that's, he's in the decade. We start West Wing in this decade.
Martin Sheen.
That's why I'm aghast at Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
what?
No tiger blood here.
Yeah.
But like...
Martin Sheen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as to me, like maybe it's like serious, so affecting and effective. Because he's... I mean, Independence Day, the aliens are probably the biggest threat any president's faced in any of the movies of the president, and he actually successfully stops them. No. Thanks to the Quaid, but yes.
He Quaid. Stops
the Quaid. Like, comedically, though, Jack Nicholson's performance is... It's a 2 out of 3 governments, 2 out of 3 branches of the government ain't bad.
Yeah, whatever.
And his daughter is Natalie Portman. I don't know how age-wise that works out, but that's...
Men can have kids whenever.
Guess so.
All right, anything else?
There's plenty of other movies, but we can...
All right.
We're not here to talk about everything.
That wraps up 1996. Can't Stop the Discourse.